Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to get into the Word here this morning, and I pray that I deliver it with strengths and power, and I pray that your people grasp it more than ever, Father. And I thank you so much for the privilege of knowing you and knowing the Word of God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing Scripture to me, for I live by it, and it causes my faith to increase. Amen. Hebrews 4:2. I love the book of Hebrews because the book of Hebrews explains in detail what really belongs to the church and what does not belong to the church any longer in the form of Judaism. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, notice this. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word, notice this, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Wow. That sure is enlightening for us, amen? When we hear the Word of God, we've got to mix it with faith. Hebrews chapter 10, or Romans chapter 10, says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then the writer, which is Paul, went on to say, it is the Word which we preach. Our faith is established on New Testament epistles. Hallelujah. 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 Because there was something that happened for us. Two things that we have to understand before we deal with issues that mankind come up with. Number one, we have to understand the present day ministry of Jesus. You have to understand that. And number two, you have to understand the authority of the believer. You have to understand the authority of the believer. Now, when Jesus was explaining to the Hebrews that wanted to revert back to Judaism, he wrote the book of Hebrews to explain to them clearly why you cannot do that. You cannot revert backward to Judaism and hold on to Christ at the same time. So if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, I wish I had time to go through this whole book again. But in Hebrews chapter 2, let's go to verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection or submission to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or a son of man, the offspring of man, that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, which he's referring to the cross. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, now watch this, are all of one, which, for which reason, for which reason for which reason he is not ashamed to call you brethren. There's enough right there to just do a dance. I feel that the Holy Spirit has brought a lot of light and revelation to the body of Christ so that we don't get caught up in things that we have no business even talking about. Now notice, there are people who say these things that bother me. Why did God allow? The word allow means to come into an agreement with the happening of a situation. Number two, they don't know why he took them. Number three, God brought judgment on them because of their sins. Number four, God allowed it to teach them something. There's another place that men get to misinterpret Scripture. And did you know that this might be a shock to some of you, but not all things that happen to people are a mystery? When we can't explain what has happened to somebody else, I understand that. But there are times when I can recognize when people are making a mistake, even to the point of their death. And you can't say much, especially in a loss. Now, did you know that we have authority over demon spirits? You guys know that? But did you know that we do not have authority over human wills? I thought I'd throw that in there just to be nasty about everything. But let's really take a look at what he said here in Hebrews. Who was he talking to when he said that he had not put this world to come, of which we're living in, subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, and this is a quote from Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 through 9. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who he was referring to here was the first Adam. And notice what he said about this first Adam. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. Say that with me. He left nothing. Interesting, isn't it? That is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Yet now we do not see all things that were put under him. And you know who he was referring to? The first Adam. We don't see yet all things that was put under him. But we see who? Oh, thank you. Jesus. But we see who?
Jesus.
We see Jesus. Why did he say that? Well, first of all, Adam disobeyed and brought on something that he shouldn't have. But thank God Jesus came along afterwards. Jesus came along afterwards and he did something. To do what? To not only regain the position the first Adam had lost, but also usher in a redemption, a buying back of what the church had incurred as a result of the first Adam failing. And that's what we see under Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I want you to notice something. It's very interesting. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 and turn to these scriptures as I ask you to, because I want you to read them there. I don't want you to think, well, that's something that somebody else taught him. No, that's something that's called Bible. It's in Bible. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, very interesting passage. In verse 13, he says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Glory to God. Now notice what he says. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound." No. "Whatever you bind on earth will have been." Will have been. Will have been already binded. Bound. Notice in heaven. Now is there anything in heaven that needs bounded? No. So what did he say? In heaven. He's saying that there is an authority that he has given to the church. That whatever the church... glory to God. Whatever the church has for authority, then I will be in agreement with that authority that I gave him to. Because he said the keys to the kingdom. You know, this is a very interesting word for keys. In ancient times, the steward of a wealthy family, especially of the royal household, was given a key in recognition of his office. Therefore, the phrase referring to giving a person the key was an expression of raising him to great power over his household. So when you were part of the family and you were giving a key to the house, that represented you had access into that house and you had the same inheritance that the master of that house had, and that therefore belongs to you. When my daughter and my children come to visit my household, they wouldn't knock on the door and come in and sit there real calmly and ask me for... They come in and they act like family, hallelujah. And what's mine is theirs, and what's theirs is mine, right? Family. We're family. That's the way it is. And he says that the church is going to have the keys that will do something. It will cause heaven to be bound if need be. No, the earth to receive a binding. Hallelujah. Because we have the keys to heaven. Glory to God. I like that. "And whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ because of the words that he just spoke. Ha ha, I knew he came to take over. And he didn't want that to get out, that he came to take over and rule over the present governments of this world. Thank God they're ruling over themselves, but not the church. Glory to God. Now, if you will turn to Matthew 28, and let's refer to the resurrection of Jesus and what he had to say. And I want you to get a hold of this because this has been a mystery for a lot of people who have not succeeded in getting something from the Lord. "And when the 11," Matthew 28, verse 16, "And when the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority.'" You guys want to know how much authority? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Where did we find that? In Matthew 16? "Whatever is bound in hell will be bound in earth." We got something going here. Now, where a lot of believers get confused is they might not fall to these lower forms of deception, such as God allows, or they took them because he wanted them, or God brought judgment on them because of their sin, and God allowed to teach them something, or misinterpret scripture, or that, you know, the secret things belong to God, we just never, or we have authority over demons, and, you know. The higher form of deception comes when a believer has the word given to them. And they don't understand what all authority means, both in heaven and in earth. And so through deception, what they do is they do their best to appease God through their own works to make sure they're conforming to the word of God, not realizing that is death. What's wrong with that, Pastor? Well, the word of God doesn't support that kind of thinking. What does it support? Well, let's look at this verse here. How much authority had been given to Jesus, both in heaven and on earth? He says, all authority. Can I ask you something? What does this word mean for authority here? Is it referring to power? Because after all, he is sovereign. He's all power. Or is it referring to authority? And whenever you find this word here for authority, it is a Greek word exousia, which literally means delegated power. Delegated power. I want you to get a hold of this. Delegated power. Through who? Through who? Through who? Would be Jesus, wouldn't it? Notice he said that when he came up out of the grave and met him. All authority has been given to me both in heaven and in earth. People, you don't realize what authority you have been given. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want to just get a quick glimpse of what authority belongs to you, just imagine in your mind, close your eyes right now, and imagine in your mind Jesus seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, and all authority had been delegated to Him. Therefore, He is the head of the church. Therefore, you go! You have been delegated the power to do so. Well, then, what about power? Where does that play? Power. Power is what we call inherent power. It literally means achieving ability. So, one means you have been given the achieving ability because you have been delegated authority from Christ. And where the higher deception comes from is that we seem to think that we have to have the authority or the ability to make something come to pass. It's already been given to you, delegated to you. It already belongs to you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do none of that kind of stuff. All you have to do is get back into scripture and say, oh my gosh, I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my deliverance. I'm going to get everything because Jesus already delegated my right to that. He has already given me that power. I'm not going to say why God allowed. God did not allow any bad thing to happen to any believer. It's the problem they get is they get in their own self and their own works and they want to give the glory back to God when really the glory is coming out of them. The Bible does not say a word about being strong in yourself. Did you know that? The Bible does not say one thing in Scripture. When I first read that in one of Kenneth Hagin's, well, I think it's in the authority of the, when he said that, I was shocked. What do you mean the Bible doesn't say a word about being strong in yourself? It says be strong in the Lord. That's a major problem that we have. We take the strength has to come from us. All we have to do is realize what's been given us. How would you like to be a believer? And you've been given the word to go out and direct traffic. I'm going to use the same illustration Kenneth Hagin did. And so you're out there, and here comes the cars. You put your hand up and stop. and he's not stopping. And so you run to the car and grab the hood of the car and try to stop it. I got news for you. You will slide backwards. You ain't strong enough to stop that automobile. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're a believer that goes out to what? Control traffic. Oh, glory to God. Bind some of them cars and loose some of them. Hallelujah. Then you have the authority in just a wave of your hand. Because you're not there as your representative. You are there because you have City Hall backing you, called in heaven. Well, I'm preaching real good if you don't like it or not. Hallelujah. See, that's the major problem. People don't understand that when you take this task on yourself, there's a bit of arrogance about you when you do that. Because how many of you can admit there's not one thing you can do to get yourself healed or delivered or set free? Come on, let's have some hands. Who is willing, has that ability to do that? Can I see your hand? Because you're the first one I want up on this platform to pray for. But how many can say, I can raise my hand if I've been delegated that place of authority? Can I see your hand? Oh, some of you just ain't sure. Well, we hope you get delivered by the time this message is over. He said, now turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And I am convinced that a lot of believers do not get their healing because they're not connected to the body of Christ. Because if you're connected to the body of Christ, it shows that one thing is working in your mind is the stewardship of God working in your life. Now, if you will, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. This is a prayer that Paul was praying for the church. And this book is powerful. I wish you all went through the book with us. But this book is so powerful. Because it lets us know something. First of all, it says the eyes of your understanding. Actually, it's a Greek word, heart, would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh, look at this next verse. Boy, when I read it out of the Greek, I was shocked that the writer couldn't put it into words. So he just limited to four very simple words. And what is the exceeding greatness of his what? Power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. Notice, not in you, in Christ. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, watch it. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Why wouldn't he give it to the church? Because people, you're a body of Christ in the earth. He is the head in heaven. You are the body in the earth. He is not going to give his head authority and let it lack in his body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, completes everything, finishes the work. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now I'm going to show you something. Then when I saw this, I knew it had to be revealed. And you had to understand the original text and what it was written in. Not by interpreters, but by the textual insight. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, we have what we call the parable of the sower. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about this story because this story fits a lot of us that are stupid. He talks about the parable of the sower, and then he comes down to verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Very interesting why he said that. Did you know the verses before he said that? He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the measure that you measure, it will be measured to you, and it will be added to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here he makes these two little statements after all this hearing. He says, be careful what you hear. Because he goes down and he says that when you sleep and rise day and night, living out your day, you could hear a lot of things. Hello? How many of you, when you woke up today, have already heard some words that were contrary to Jesus? Now watch this. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, and then the head, and after that the full corn in the head. Isn't that nice? When you plant a crop, you expect the fullness of it. Amazing. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is grown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that even the birds of the air may rest under its shade. In other words, then when a person has been fully developed and fully grown, even the fowls of the air can enjoy the fullness of where you have grown. Isn't that interesting? Now watch this. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them. Many such parables. How would you like to have sat under those parables? And as they were able to hear it. So he spoke what they were able to hear. That's right, Harvey. They were able to hear it. You know what that means when you're able to hear something? You're accountable for it. Did you know that? So Harvey, when we get excited that we're able to hear it, along comes the responsibility with it. Now watch this story unfold. And I don't want to hear any of you say, oh me. Just say, oh my. That's right. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone. This is where knowing the original language that it was spoken in and not through a translator, he explained how many things? All things to his disciples. This word explained is a very interesting word. You know, there are two Greek words for unloose or unravel. One is luo, and that means a general term for when for Jesus was manifest that he might unluo the works of the devil. The word luo means someone whose walk is tied up and that has been loosed and he's free to walk. The enemy no longer can hinder his walk. But this word here is not the same word. It's called epiluo. Are you ready for this? He not only explained out what they had been loosed from. When you say epi, it means he added a more to it. He added what was going to happen when he said, let's go to the other side. He not only told them the meaning of Scripture and what it meant and everything, but he also told them what was up ahead as they were crossing the river. Why do you think he went to the boat, he laid his head down, and fell fast asleep? You don't want to know why? Because he totally enlightened all of these disciples about everything, even what they were coming up against. Now let me ask you something. If the Word of God was given to you because of something that was coming up ahead that you was not aware of, how many of you know and I know that we can pretty well guarantee that when God gave us a specific word on a specific day at a specific time, it's because He knows something is up ahead. Now these 12 disciples had a better deal coming to them. It wasn't a surprise attack like you and I get. He goes on and it tells them. The reason I'm telling you all this, I'm giving you the right, the authority to go to the other side, because the enemy is going to try to stop us. He's going to come at us with a great wind, and he's going to try and stop us from reaching the other side. And I need my sleep, thank you. So when it comes, tell it to calm down. Fired that gun real well. And on the same day, when evening had come, same day, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Be careful how you hear, for with the same measure that you hear with, it will be added back to you. Here we go. They get into their little boat. And they begin to cross. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose. Now, let me ask you something. How can you be so sure that epiluo means to explain what was ahead of him? Because Jesus knew that he was responsible for all the other little boats that are floating across. So how much more would he expound all things to them, expecting them to use their authority? Because it was not only the 12 and him, but it was all the ones that were following him. And he delegated that authority to them. And says, you're not only responsible for your own life about what's going to happen up here. He says, you're responsible for all the little boats all around us. A lot of people. Now, let's go on. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And notice he did not say, "Master, Master, a storm has arisen. We didn't expect." No, they didn't say that. He said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And he said, "They feared exceedingly, said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" You know what happened? It was just like Peter, "Bid me to come out on that water." "All right." "Oh, the wind, the waves, what am I doing? I'm crazy." And he started to sink, and Jesus said, "Wherefore did you doubt?" You know, it's like a lot of us believers. God gives us a word and tells us of the situation. Take authority over it. I've delegated it to you. Take authority over it. That's like a lot of us. What measure are we hearing with? What measure have we listened to? Because the same measure that you've listened to is the same thing that will be added unto you. I told you many times, learning under these great men of God and how they got results and everything, they said things and I didn't let anything pass. Not nothing pass. And when people start accusing God of not taking control of something, right away that tells me, my gosh, they had not sat under Kenneth Hagin. When you sat under him, you got the understanding of what he meant. People, you and I can't do anything. But we can do something about understanding the delegated authority that He given us. Let's go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. How many did you see that? He expounded epiluo. He went above and beyond the call. You know, Jesus didn't sit there and rebuke them and say, yeah, how come you have no faith? Because surely He expected them to have faith. How many of you know that when you and I hear the Word of God, God expects us to have faith with it? Well, if we don't have faith mixed with it, then what good is our hearing? For hearing comes by faith. And if it's not mixed with faith in those that heard it, then how can they believe? That's why so many people get sovereignty mixed up with delegated authority. Sovereignty is not delegated authority. Sovereignty means something that belongs in God's court. You can't go there. It's Him that does it. But if we know His will and find out what He did delegate to us, we can operate fluently in His delegated authority because He has shown us how to use that authority. Hello? We got some people say, well, if I call a doctor and get some medicine, I've stepped down to the faith. No, you didn't. That was some preacher that said that stupid stuff. God not only gave you authority and spiritual blessings in heavenly places, He gave you authority over all things in the earth, and you can use them. It's just how you use them that you don't abuse them. I want to show you something. Really caught me. Oh man, I gotta share this with you. Turn over to Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 18, let's go to verse 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. I like the way the Amplified put this. Are you ready? He who does not use all his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. Matter of fact, you go back in the Old Testament, you'll find many, many people got into a situation they needed a healing. And many times God came to them and said, you can't even aid yourself with any form of physician or anything to heal yourself because you're in rebellion to me. When you get in rebellion to God, it shuts everything off. Yeah. You know, people, I got news for you. We are still here. Amen. Say, I'm here. Amen. You know what you are? Say, I'm a believer. You're the body of Christ. Amen. Now, denominations put a denominational name on there. That doesn't nullify the body of Christ at work in the earth. That's why we're called by His Word. Are you following me? And that means that when God speaks, we're a word of faith church. Because what we do is we speak the word. That's what we do. We speak the word. That's what we do. We speak the word. And as long as you understand the delegated authority, you're responsible for it. You'll go right to your grave if you expect Jesus to come down and do something He's already did for you. You're trying to do it within yourself. You will not go to your grave. You will live and not die if you realize you're operating on His delegated authority. It has nothing to do with you saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing or motions and all this and that. It does nothing to the flesh. It all predicated on what Kenneth Hagin said. He didn't say he feared doctors and all that. He went to them. He'd get a testimony from them. He'd even take some of the medication that would help stabilize his body. It said it put him in a better frame of mind, a better way of thinking, until he doubled up on Scripture. And he doubled up on what was delegated to him. And he turned around and said, because Jesus said this, I have a right to it. It is mine. It was delegated to me. He said, go to the other side. And I'm going to the other side. He told me how to go to the other side. My life has more responsibility for everybody. I preach myself happy. Oh, you're trying to take Jesus' place. Absolutely. What he delegated to me, I'm taking it. I don't care what you think about it. I'm the one that's got to keep walking. I'll tell you what I'm preaching to you now. He brings that up in The Authority of the Believer. He talks about how he still laid on that bed of affliction even after he got a word from God. Mark 11:23-24. He still laid on that bed of affliction until one day it dawned on him. My gosh, if I'm healed, heal me and get up and walk. He got up and walked. I'll never forget Earl Hitson. He was talking about cutting logs. You've heard the story. He said he hit fall this one tree and it hit another tree crosswise and caused that tree to flip up and come down and hit him on the back when he tried to run from it. Hit him on the back and dislodged all his ribs from his spine. And he fell against his tree and he started feeling foreign. Like he was leaving his body. He didn't want to pray. Oh God, please heal me now. I'm in a real fix. Heal me now. Heal me now. No, he said, I'm healed. I'm calling on my healing right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm commanding myself to be healed right now. And he was praising God and thanking him for providing healing. And he said he was in so much pain, he became numb in the front. Everything was dislodged. I bet you that's an ouch.
Oh, yeah.
And he just kept praising God and praising God. And he said, praise God, I'm healed, I'm healed. I thank you, Jesus, for healing. And Jesus said, well, if you're healed, heal me and get up. He said his mind went to a screeching halt. And this thought came to him. Jesus, don't you care? And he finally said, no, I'm not going to take that thought. I'm going to get up like he told me to. He said it took everything within him to get up, and he stood up. And he said he kept feeling like he was going to leave his body. And he said the pain was so horrendous. And he says, thank God I'm a healed man. I can get up and walk because I'm healed. Hallelujah. And furthermore, he carried my pain. And I'm going to believe that this pain is going to start lifting. And Jesus said, well, healed men that get up and walk, they ignore the pain and start walking. He said his mind wanted to say, and this is what his mind tried to grab, are you a nutcase? You have no business standing up and beginning to start walking. And so he thought, in the natural, he says, boy, Jesus, you're heartless. But then he just rebuked that thought and he said, okay, heal men walk. And he said he took his first step and he said he could just feel his insides just moving around, no stability. And he took another step and he took another step and he started getting to where he took about 4 or 5 steps and he was right by a saw. And Jesus said, heal men that get up and walk, pick up their chainsaw. I wish I'd never seen that chainsaw. He said it took him everything to get down on one leg and grab that chainsaw. He picked it up and he said that pain was so racking. And he said, Jesus said, now you walk out of the woods because healed men walk out of the woods. And he started walking out and gets down to the road. And he's starting to feel more solid inside. He's starting to feel the pain loosening up and everything. And he's got his chainsaw holding it real firm. It's not painful anymore. And his friend come running over. I called an ambulance. I heard you and I saw what happened to you. I called an ambulance. And Earl goes, oh, thank goodness. And the guy come up and said, here, let me have that chainsaw. Took his chainsaw. And by the time the ambulance got there, he started feeling the way he felt when he had laid up against the tree. He said all the pain came back. And Earl Hitson, from that day forward, has always been plagued with back pain. Never got over it. You see, Jesus knows what he's talking about when he tells you, you have faith because of me. You have a foundation for your faith. Did you know that in Hebrews 11, very interesting, it says now faith is the substance. That Greek word substance is hypostasis, that which stands under something. Well, in the text, he's referring to that which stands under Christ. And he says, that is the reason your faith will work. Because you're standing under Him. You're not standing on your own. Many of us don't want to let go of ourselves. We want to make an appeasement to God. And you know what? If He was to get healed that way, what kind of testimony would you have with the other little boats? Well, if it wasn't for us being independent of the church, listening only to God, and I don't care what anybody else says. I care what other people say. Why? Because I care what you have to say. You're a part of me. We're the family. And that's why Paul said, you're the family of the household of God. Hallelujah. That's why you find people that never connect with the body of Christ, never really get their victory in this life. Oh, but who cares? When you get to the other side, guess what? You still have the victory. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read 6 through 10. Oh, well, 4, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, but made alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's where our keys came from. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Oh man, get a hold of that. It is a gift of God. It has been given to you. It's not of your own works. It's not of how you think. It's how you delegate. And raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, poime, the workmanship created. Oh, created. Produced out of nothing in Christ Jesus for good works. The best of what the person put into us, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Woo! Got to go to the dance again. God's telling you, come, go to the other side. God's telling you, let's go to the other side. God's telling you, let's go to the other side. God's telling you, let's go to the other side. God's telling you, let's go to the other side. God's telling us, let's go to the other side. God's telling us, let's go to the other side. Hallelujah. 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 Don't allow the enemy to come in and talk negatively towards you. Don't allow that, because he has no right. He's trying his best to get you to believe what he has to say. Listen, your own carnal mind can cough up enough trouble. That's where our true warfare is. Our true warfare is in how we think within ourselves. Well, I delivered the word of God. It's up to you what you do with it. Hallelujah, because it belongs to you. Same thing I inherited, the same thing you inherited. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, Rishi. Don't get caught up in that trap of trying to do it on your own. Don't do that. Don't get caught up in that trap. Hallelujah. No, let Jesus be who he says he would be. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. When Jesus was on this earth and he said, hallelujah. You know when he said, let's go to the other side? He said from the position that he was going to go to, that's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where you go. A lot of us want Jesus to get us there. Jesus wants you to hear him, so you deliberately walk there.
Amen.
Thank you, John. I had to out-preach you. I said, I can't get up there and be really calm and everything. Now that he went and showed off, everything else would be boring. Dear Heavenly Father, stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our ability, our potential of what you delegated to us in Christ. Father, may your wonderful people get a hold of this. Father, I pray the same prayer Paul did. May the eyes of their understanding, their heart be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of their calling and what the riches are in Christ Jesus. For Father, when I look at them, I see a beautiful work that you've done on the inside. May it come on the outside and begin to dominate. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, if there be anybody here that wants to receive Jesus, we don't want to let this altar call go by without praying for them. So, Father, if they've never known Jesus and never said the sinner's prayer, we want to pray for them. Father, if they've known and prayed the sinner's prayer, but it seems like they keep growing cold in you and they want to reestablish their walk with you, that Father, may they do that this morning. Hallelujah. Recommit their life to you. It's so important. And Father, if there's anybody here who's never been filled with the Holy Ghost, man, I'll tell you what, they're missing something. Father, the Holy Spirit is our lifeline to God. And Father, we know that those who do not desire the infilling of the Holy Spirit don't desire a closer walk with you. But those who desire the fullness of the Spirit desire a closer walk with you. We will pray for them, Lord, as you fill them. Hallelujah. And with that said, if you will step out and come up, we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Salvation. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. Recommitment, the new birth. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Anyone else would like to join our brother? Anyone else? Hallelujah. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service. We thank you for the men of God that had gotten up here and fired everybody up. And Father, I thank you for Lonnie. He did a good job on the announcements. He fired us up. And so, Father, may all of your people be blessed today. And may we look forward to a great Easter. And everybody said, you can go home. Hallelujah.